Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We're joined on the air now by Maria van der Merwe, who is the president at the Association for Dietetics in South Africa. Very good morning to you, Maria.
Good morning.
So, Maria, we're talking about all things health. And one of the things that people tend to do now that summer's around the corner is to start diets and to cut sugar out of their lives and to replace sugar with artificial sweeteners. Are artificial sweeteners the right thing to be doing?
Well, thank you for the question and the opportunity to join you this morning. So I think I'm going to start off by just quickly differentiating. So we have artificial sweeteners as a sugar replacement, and then we also have what we would call as a sugar substitute. The artificial ones would be, for example, aspartame, saccharine, acetylcholine K that we are more familiar with. And then we have a category called sugar alcohols. So those are the ones ending with an OL or OL, your maltitol, sorbitol. And then we have what we also call novel sweeteners and emerging from natural sources like stevia. So if I'm going to talk about sugar sweeteners, I'll talk quite general about all three categories. And to get down to the answer to your question is, depending on, first of all, the amount that we consume. So if we consider that sugar contributes some energy to our intake, by replacing that with a sugar replacement or a substitute that does not contain kilojoules or very low kilojoules, we can potentially reduce our sugar intake. We need to, however, be cautious with what is replaced with, because very often, if we have a sweetened product, to make up for taste, it may be that it is higher in fat. For example, artificially sweetened chocolate may be quite high in fat compared to others to make up for the taste. So we need to consider a few more things than only saying sugar is replaced by a substitute.
Do we see a lot of people thinking that sugar is the reason that they have weight gain, and now that they want to lose weight going into the summer months, they decide to switch to an alternative? Is this a fallacy? Is this truthful? And what is the effect on the health?
Okay, so as I've mentioned, the sugar contains some kilojoules, some energy. So it's roughly about 84 kilojoules to a teaspoon. So if you are going to have one or two teaspoons in your tea or coffee throughout the day, that's not significant. But let's say you have 2 teaspoons of sugar in your coffee and you take 6 cups of coffee, then it becomes more significant. So reducing sugar intake in your diet, and now sugar, talking about that white granule substance we use, if you consume a lot and you reduce, of course, it will reduce your energy intake. If you are currently not using a lot, it will not make much of a difference. But we need to also consider overall that sugar is not only that white substance. So sugar is a word that's actually including, for example, our fruit sugars or sugar found in milk. And in that case, we wouldn't want to eliminate all sugars from our diet, because the sugars we find in fruit and vegetables and whole grains are actually very good, and it supports our digestion and our gut microbiome, which again assists with absorption and our immunity. So reducing sugar intake is not a bad idea, because sugar only contributes energy, no nutrients. But if we have, for example, fruit that contains some sugar in the form of fructose, but it also comes with vitamins and minerals and fiber, we don't necessarily want to go cold turkey on that.
Maria, thank you so much for those insights. And I think as we go into summer, a lot more people need to take cognizance of their intake and also not go into this crash diet mode. I don't think they realize the damage they can cause themselves.
Absolutely. When we go crash diet, our bodies actually think, you know, we are as humans, we have been created to survive famine and droughts, etc. We didn't always have drive-through takeaway shops on the corner. So historically, our bodies are designed to survive when there are times of drought and famine. So if you are going to go on a crash diet, your body is just saying, whoops, famine, I need to make a plan. So it starts making fuel or energy from a different source, which is ketones. And then also, it has a tendency after that crash diet to want to store energy when you now return to your normal eating ways, which may not be healthy. And then it's going to probably store your fat as energy, your energy as fat, because it is programmed to say there may be a famine again. So it actually is very counterproductive to go on a crash diet to lose a lot of weight, because I think we all know someone that lost some kilos and gained more. And that's because of our metabolic response to that starvation effect that we have from crash diets. So it's definitely not the way to go.
Thank you for joining us this morning. That was Maria van der Merwe, the president of the Association for Dietetics in South Africa.